Good morning, Times Square Church Summit Campus. Today, I would like to talk to you about let us be faithful. Let us be faithful. Let us be a generation. Let us be a people that are faithful in whatever what we do with each other and with God. We truly live in perilous times, hard times, troublous times. But we also live in exciting times. Let me tell you what. We also live in exciting times. Often we look in the Bible and we read about great men of faith, and we read the story when Jesus was born and was walking the streets of Jerusalem, was healing the blind, was healing the sick. And our mind sometimes can go to those moments and be like, I wish I was around that time. Is this just me or you as well? My mind goes sometimes there that I wish I was hanging out with Moses. I wish I was hanging out with Elijah, seeing the miraculous things of God. And we read all of the stories that encourages us and lifts us up. But I want to tell you something, that all of those people, they were looking forward to the day that we have today. They were looking forward. They were looking with anticipations to that day when one day, Jesus, the promise, is gonna come and he's gonna be born to redeem the world. And I look forward to a day like that. And they wished they would live in a day like we do. And we today wish that we would live in a day like they did. Isn't it crazy? But there is something special about the day we live in, because it doesn't matter how dark it gets, the light of Jesus Christ is gonna shine even brighter through our lives. And even though we live in hard times, we also live in exciting times, that our children are gonna grow up. We are gonna witness the move of the Holy Spirit in our lifetime. We're gonna witness how people are gonna get converted. We're gonna witness how by the power of the Holy Spirit, people are gonna come to Jesus Christ to receive him as a personal savior. We're gonna witness an awakening that only God can send by his power and through his word. Because he's gonna do that. Because he's not gonna come for his church when we are just asleep. No, he's gonna send an awakening. He's gonna prepare us for that day, and we're gonna be part of what he's doing in this world. So let us be faithful in whatever what we do. Let us be faithful in the work of the Lord. Let us be faithful in our devotions to each other and to the Lord. Because so many people are not faithful today. So many people, they try to do things and then they just do their own thing. But let us be faithful on the things of what the Word of God is calling me and you to be and to live. One of the things for the past probably year and a half, I've been thinking about and kind of enjoying reading the Bible of people that are passing on, and I'm looking at the last things of what they said. And I want to encourage you to do that. If you have time and if you have, you know, the courage to do that, just begin to study the Word of God and look at the people, mighty men of faith of their life, and also especially pay attention of their last words, like David's last words, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Moses. You look at all of these great men of faith, but also from the New Testament of great men of faith. What are some of the last things that they said to the people that they left behind? I've heard stories that some people actually know when they're gonna pass away. Some people feel that. I know stories, even Pastor Carter shared, he knows people that they knew God has spoken to them, tomorrow you're gonna pass on. So they would call their families, they will tell that to their families, and at that moment they will share some of the things with their loved ones. And sure enough, tomorrow comes at a certain time and they pass on. Some people know that. But also from the Bible, we also know that people knew that because of the circumstances they faced. Some of them, they faced death penalties for believing in Christ. Some of them, they were in prison for faith. Some of them, they knew they were not gonna get out of prison. And it was revealed to them that the reality right in front of them is that they're not gonna make out. They're not gonna leave this place. They're not gonna leave the prison. And one of those people was Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, he wanted to work in the fields of the Lord, and he was doing that. And even when he was imprisoned, he did not stop doing that. But he was writing letters. He was impacting the church. He was impacting the people around him. And it came a moment that he knew that this is gonna be his last time, that he's gonna have the opportunity to share these words with his beloved spiritual son, Timothy. And if you can open up the Bible with me, there'll be 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and down. And we're gonna go then in chapter 3 as well and forward. But I would like to just read the scripture and let the scripture speak for itself. What Apostle Paul was teaching Timothy. This was a personal letter that he was doing to him. And also Paul was a young man, about 30, 35 years old. And now you have this apostle, great apostle Paul, that is investing into Timothy, this younger generation. He's passing the baton to him. He's passing the ministry that he had to this young man. And he begins to share these things with Timothy. And all of these things that he's sharing, ultimately he says, let you be faithful in all of these things. Be faithful and remain solidly grounded in Christ and in Christ's work, in the work of the Lord. Another thing that he's reminding him here, to endure suffering. We don't wanna hear about suffering. Whenever we talk about suffering, we kind of squeeze our face a little bit and tend to maybe close our ears. But let me tell you something. It is the confusion that has been brought up by all or some of the preachers that if you're born again Christian, God is gonna come and bless you with health and wealth and all of the above. But the Bible talks to us and warns us that if we give our lives to Jesus Christ, we will endure suffering. And what's amazing is that without suffering, we cannot die. Think about that one day or another, if we preach that suffering is not part of our lives, then do we say that we're never gonna die? Obviously, spiritually, we know where we're saying that we will live, right? But physically, this body has to die. And for that reason, we will encounter sickness. We will encounter different things. But here, in the context, Apostle Paul is telling you that you will endure suffering, persecution, ridicule, and all of the other things because you choose to preach the gospel. Because you are embracing this message that I am passing on to you. And not only embracing, but you're gonna share this message with other people. And if you're gonna do this, Timothy, know that you will endure suffering. You will endure persecution. You will endure people that will hate you. And let's read 2 Timothy verses 2 and down. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 and down. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. I have been sent out to tell others about the life he has promised through faith in Jesus Christ. I am writing to you, Timothy, my dear son. May God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord, give you grace, mercy, and peace. One of the things Apostle Paul here is reminding him that he is chosen by God, not by people. They were not votes. They were not because you're a great speaker or you're a great this or that. But he says, no, the call that came, it came truly by God. By God. And God is gonna give us the grace, the mercy, and the peace that we need to go forward. Later on over here, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 3 and down. Sorry, 2 Timothy verses chapter 1 verses 3 and down. Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I have served with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. This is amazing that Apostle Paul over here is encouraging Timothy, and he's saying, listen, even though I am far away from you, we don't have cell phones, we don't have internet, how to communicate, but through this letter, I want to remind you that I am praying for you day and night. One of the things that we need to be faithful as believers is to pray for others, is to pray for others. Sometimes I work, I do things, and I like to sing. I can be in a meeting and in my mind I sing, I tune out, and I just talk with the Lord. It's just, this is how I'm wired. I can walk around and all of a sudden somebody comes to my mind, some of the families from the church, some of the issues that are rising, some of the phone calls that I've been having with the people, and all of a sudden I'm just praying. It doesn't have to be only a meeting that we set 10 minutes apart to sit and pray. All of our life, everything that we do belongs to the Lord, amen? So we pray, and over here, he says that I pray for you day and night. So let us be faithful in praying for others, not just for ourselves, not just for our families, but for the loved ones, for those that are called brothers and sisters among us, those that we know that are going through maybe a difficult moment in their life or whatever what it is, let us pray for them, because this is what we're called to do. Amen. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted. And I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that was first laid into from your grandmother, Louise, and your mother, Eunice. Over here, another thing that faithfulness is shown in the faith that we are to have. Over here, it says that from your grandmother and from your mother, the faith that they have received, that they have imparted into you. Now, don't forget that, Timothy, because it's vital for you to keep on going in that faith. Faithful in passing down your faith. You see, this faith that we have, even though it's personal, each one of us, we have to receive Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Each one of us, each one of our children, they have to make the decision to follow Jesus Christ as their Savior. But we also is to impart this faith with them. We also are to share this faith with them. I remember growing up, whenever when my parents were imparting this faith into my life, I did not like it because I just wanted to be wild, right? And everything, when you grow up, everything seems as, oh, this is just religion, this bunch of works, and you have all these excuses. Why? Because we wanna live how we wanna live. We don't like whenever when somebody says no. We don't like when there is boundaries being set. But my parents never stopped sharing their faith that was passed down to them from their parents. They never stopped sharing the good things that God did in their life, the faithfulness and the mercy and the love of God. And he got a hold of me one day when, for myself, I made a personal decision. When I was about 7 or 8 years old, I came to the front, to the church where my family and our friends, they established in a village where there were no believers. And personally, I made that decision when the altar call was made to receive Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. I stood up with my sister and we went to the front, and I have made the decision on my own to serve Jesus Christ. You see, it's so important for us as parents and as young people here to learn and to practice how to share this faith, not only in Harrisburg or in Hershey, but also with our family, with our children, to pass down this faith. And we're to be faithful. Let us be faithful to pass down this faith. Amen. Let's continue reading. And I know that the same faith continues strong in you. It doesn't continue just a little bit in you. It's not that he's saying that you're just familiar, but I love over here that Apostle Paul includes the word, it is strong in you. The faith that was passed down to you from your grandmother and from your mother, it's not wavering, but it's strong. Say strong with me. Strong in you. Let us pass down this faith to the next generation, to our children, that they can say that the faith that is in me is strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 6. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gifts God gave you when I laid my hands on you. You see, let us be faithful to exercise the spiritual gifts, because we will tend sometimes to be timid and hide. But Apostle Paul here, in his last words to Timothy, he thought it would be important that Timothy, is gonna come a day you might be timid to exercise the gifts of the Lord around you, with the people in the church, with the brothers and sisters. But I'm reminding you that a gift was given to you, gifts were given to you, imparted with laying with my hands, and the Holy Spirit has given you gifts now, exercise them. Don't hide them, because me and you are accountable for that. We will answer for those things that God has entrusted into our hands. What have we done with those things? Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and sound mind, and my translation says of self-discipline or self-control. He's saying that you will be afraid, but do not be afraid, because whatever what God gave us is so much stronger than what we face in the world. God has given us power. He has given us the authority to face everything that needs to be faced in our life that comes against us, and to say, you know what? By God's grace, I am going to prevail. Praise be to God. Verse 8, so never be ashamed to tell others about the Lord. Let's be honest. It's not that we are ashamed, but I think sometimes we're uncomfortable, right? If we are to ask, are you ashamed to share the gospel? Oh, no, I'm not. Of course I'm not. Are you sharing the gospel? No. Why? A little bit uncomfortable. I feel afraid. It's weird a little bit, right? But over here it says no. So never be ashamed. Sometimes, no, never. Never be ashamed. I want to encourage you that step in faith. If God gives you opportunities to share this gospel with somebody, never be ashamed of it. But say, God, give me the grace to do that. Even a few words. Even if I say, God bless you. Even if I say, Jesus loves you. Let me start with a little bit, but never, never to be ashamed of this gospel. And do not be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. Sometimes we can be ashamed of our brothers and sisters, right? Can you imagine what Timothy was facing? His teacher, his friend, he's in prison. And even though he's in prison, probably the commotion in the village, this guy, it's nuts. He gets what he needs, right? And some of the things in conflicts like that, we hear about somebody or somebody did something, and all of a sudden we can be ashamed. We are distancing ourselves from our brothers and sisters that might be going through struggles or hard times. We don't want to associate with them because we think that associating with them might not be the best thing politically for me right now, right? But over here, Apostle Paul says, listen, don't distance yourself from this gospel, but also don't distance yourself from me. In different words, brothers and sisters, let us not distance ourselves from each other, but let us be there one for another. Even when somebody fails, even when for your reputation it might seem very bad that you're gonna associate yourself by encouraging somebody. But Jesus did that. Jesus did that. Whenever when he saw a sinner, he went there to give hope to them. Whenever he saw a tax collector that was stealing money, he went there. He was accused of that. But Jesus chose to be there, to associate with those people, not to be involved in those things, but to bring hope and encouragement for the people that are broken and far away. And we're not to associate with the world, but we are to associate with the body of Christ, with our brothers and sisters, and not to distance ourselves, especially from those that might go through a hard time. Maybe they're in prison, spiritually speaking, right? No, Apostle Paul says, it's so important for me right now that you do not distance yourself from me. Thank God for the word of God, amen? That reminds us that we are to stand with each other. Would the strength of God give you be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. He's saying, Timothy, you see how I'm suffering? Partially, Timothy was seeing the end of his journey, what it can look like. Because Apostle Paul is right here in prison, and he says, listen, do not be ashamed of that. And be ready to suffer, if need be, for this good news. Timothy, you have a choice. You can preach mixture. You can preach whatever what you want, and you'll be okay. But if you're going to preach the good news, the gospel, the way that Jesus Christ has entrusted into our hands to share, you will suffer. And be ready for that. For the sake of good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. You see, if God has called me and called you, he has saved me and he saved you, it's for a purpose, for me and for you to live a holy life. What does it mean? To live a life that is separate from this world. Not to be tainted, not to walk like the world walks and not to talk like the world talks, but to be separated. It is not because we have chosen that, but because Jesus Christ has saved us and separated us for his purpose. We cannot be holy on our own. It is the holiness of God that is given to us, and we exercise that now. And you might say, well, I'm struggling. Run to Jesus, because he will give you the grace and the strength that you need to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan before the beginnings of the time, to show us his grace through Jesus Christ. So before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ chose you to be his own. He knew you. The Bible says he loved you first and he loved me first. Or we say, oh, I love you, Jesus. Yes, but it's the response that we have because he has loved us first. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Verse 11, and God's chosen me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. You see, again, be faithful. If God has chosen you to be a preacher, be faithful in that. I love Brother Bob. I don't think he's here today. But I love that he does not need to be on this platform to be a preacher. He wakes up in the morning and he prays and he's a preacher. He sits in the car and he goes to Harrisburg. He goes to colleges. He goes, talks with young people, and he shares this gospel. Amen. I think the problem that we have sometimes, we confine the preaching of the Word of God only behind the pulpit. But it's not only behind the pulpit. It's everywhere where we go, we can share this gospel. Hallelujah. It's everywhere where we go, we can share this good news. Everywhere where we go, we can invest into somebody's life. We don't need the mic. We just need a willing heart, and we just need to open our mouth to begin to share this gospel. And let me tell you that, if we would do that, we would be way more effective as a church as we are today. Individually, if you're called to be an apostle, awesome. Begin to exercise that. Walk away from your home and begin to exercise those things that God has called you to do. If God has called you to be a teacher, do that. I remember a few months ago, Pastor Josiah, Sam, and myself, we went to get some food in Hershey. At the moment I walked into that restaurant in Hershey, I saw a youth pastor and a young man just sitting there reading the Bible. They didn't have to sit and preach to everyone around them, but it was right there in front. You cannot miss them. You walk in and they're right there, and he's sitting there and investing into this young man's life, the Word of God. I love that. Even though it was a long time ago, I still remember that. There are churches I was reading that this is how they do connect groups. They strategically meet in coffee places, and they just take a table, 3, 4, 5 people, and they just open the Word of God, and they're starting to read the Word of God and share with each other the Word of God. It's one way of evangelism. But if you're a teacher, if God has called you to that, I want to encourage you, do it. Don't wait for the church to set everything up for you. Do what God has called you to do. I want to implore and encourage you to do that. Step out in faith. And let us not have excuses, but be faithful in the things that God has called you to do. One day when we stand before the Lord, we're not going to be able to say, well, there was not an opportunity in church. Whatever what God has given us, He has given us to equip the body of Christ, but also to go out and do the things that God has called us to do. Let us be faithful in those things. If you know that God has given you something, called you to do something, be faithful in that. In little things, you'll be faithful. God is gonna put you over much. Hallelujah. It's a promise from the Lord. It's a promise from the Lord. Praise be to God. That is why I am suffering here in prison. Why? Why is Apostle Paul suffering in prison? Because of all of these things that he was doing. You see, sometimes if we don't do nothing, we might have a comfortable life. And we enjoy that, which is great. But over here, Apostle Paul is saying that all of these things that I just read and talked to you about, now he's concluding and saying, that's why I am imprisoned. Because I put those things to work. Whatever God has called me, I began to exercise those things and I began to apply them into my life. And as a result, I find myself in prison. And sometimes we don't want to share, we don't want to do these things because there's a price to be paid. But I want to encourage you, be faithful to what God has called you. It's worth it all. It is worth it all. And now Apostle Paul is reminding Timothy, listen, you might suffer, but it's worth it. Be faithful to those things. But I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one whom I entrust, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. That's a powerful verse. I love this verse. And he ends up in saying, I know to whom I have entrusted my life and all of the things that I've done. And it's not a waste, even though I find myself in prison, even though it seems like I'm away from everybody, but God is able to keep those things that I have labored so much for his glory. He's able to do that. And nobody might know that, but one day when I stand before him, he's gonna say, here it is. Here is the fruit of you being obedient to what I've called you to do. Here is the fruit because you have entrusted all of these things into my hands and I am able to secure it, to keep it perfectly fine till that day when you're gonna see me face to face. Yesterday, we were invited to go visit a family that works with the children in Hershey. And they're home parents from our church here. And I began to look around. They have, I think, seven or nine kids right now. And the stories they began to share with us, one of the things that was coming to my mind to encourage this family and to encourage these kids, but especially the family, that listen, you're doing an amazing job. And even though you might be discouraged at times, even though you're limited even in what you can share with these children, but the fact that you're born again Christian, this is your mission field. Even though it's hard, even though it's difficult, they've been doing, I think, for almost a decade, and they've been investing their lives into these young children that have very, very bad backgrounds. But I began to encourage these parents and say, you might not find out on this side of eternity, you might not find out the investment and the impact you have on these children. But one day when you stand before the Lord, you're gonna find out. One day you're gonna stand before God and you're gonna find out all of the things, all of the prayers, all of the investments you have done into these children's lives. You're gonna find out and you're gonna hear, well done, faithful servant. And it's hard work, it's difficult for them. But I wanna encourage you now. It might be difficult for you, what you're doing. You might not see the fruit right away. They don't see the fruit, they're just little children. But one day when we stand before the Lord, I was amazed when they were giving me a tour through the facility and I saw a big picture, big picture. And there was a lot of students, former students from Milton Hershey. They were there on a picture. And their pictures were that they have died in the battles because they have joined the army. Who knew, right? But they were once little children that they were investing into them. And they grew up and they sign up to fight for freedom that we have. And they gave their lives for that freedom so we can enjoy. But who knew? You see, some of the things we only will find out later. Some of the things, let me take further, we will find out after death. But today, let us be faithful in doing all those things, because God is calling us to do that. Guard those things. Fight for those things. Let's pray against apathy in our lives, in my life. Sometimes when we face difficult things and the things that come against us, let us say, God, help me. Help me to be faithful. Help me to stay faithful. In the little things you've called me, help me to stay faithful. And now, with Apostle Paul, we can say, and we can go to chapter 4, verse 1 and down, in my closing. And here he says this: I solemnly urge you, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead, when he appears to set up his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teachings. Verse 3, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teachings. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. I want to stop you for a moment. Yesterday, there was a video that I came across. A video of preachers now endorsing sinful lifestyles. Things that were shared, it was so contrary to the word of God that I don't know what Bible they were reading. If there are things that we can debate, sure there are, but there are clear things that cannot be debated because they're so clear and white and black. And it got to the point that this young preacher began to share that whenever when God began to walk the streets of Jerusalem, and then when he came to a point in his life that he heard that Lazarus was dead, and he came to the tomb and he said, Lazarus, what did he say? Come on, forth. He took this scripture and he said, this applies to the LGBTQ community, because Jesus is saying now to you, come out forth from the closet. Come out whatever where you are forward, because I love you. And my heart just sank. My heart began to worry about what kind of messages are being preached today. And this is young pastors, they're so-called young pastors, younger than me. And let me tell you, they're gaining popularity and views online. But this is the generation we live in that we're gonna be confronted with all kinds of these things. And Apostle Paul knew that Timothy is gonna be confronted with similar things. He knew that we will live in a day that we'll be confronted head on with people that will preach messages that will tickle the ears of the people. They will preach messages just to gain popularity. They will preach messages just to gain people and members in their facilities. I don't even wanna call them churches, but facilities. And Apostle Paul says, be aware that a day like that is coming, that people are gonna turn around and they're gonna share these messages how it's worth it for them, for their benefit, and will tickle the ears of the people. But I love over here, verse 5, but you, hallelujah. You see, we can look around and we can say, oh, what about this, what about that? No, but what about me? What about you? And this is what Apostle says, but you, because we can get discouraged looking at others. He says, but you should keep a clean mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Again, he's bringing everything back to Timothy. If you're gonna preach this clear message, if you're gonna be faithful to this truth that I'm giving to you, you will be persecuted. You will suffer. But if you don't wanna suffer, if you wanna be applauded in every circumstance, you just preach a message of mixture. But because you're gonna preach this gospel in purity, you will suffer for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my departure is near. And here Apostle Paul is bringing even more to conclusion. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. Oh, my brother, my sister, let us remain faithful. If nothing else, let us, by the grace and the mercy of God, remain faithful to the Lord and the things that the Lord has called me and you to do. And ultimately, this is all what it matters. It doesn't matter what all we did. If we finish wrong, it's all worthless. Let us be faithful. I want to read this verse 7 again. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have remained faithful. Let this be my testimony by the grace of God. Let this be your testimony by the grace of God, to remain faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me. Help me out here now. Read it with me. But for all. Help me out. Say all with me. But for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. You see, how do we remain faithful? It's eagerly looking forward for his appearing. Not looking at the things that are earthly, but eagerly looking forward. God, you're coming soon. And I want to be faithful in whatever you called me to do. I want to be busy in the work of the Lord, in whatever what it is. As I work, as I live, as I do my things throughout the day, help me to talk to you. Help me to pray. Help me not to push people away. But help me to love, embrace, and remain faithful in the things you have called me to do. And for people that do that, a crown of glory is being prepared. That one day, the just judge will tell you and me, well done. I'm looking forward to that day. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. I want to hear that from my master. I want to hear that from my Lord and Savior. I want to hear that, because this is our journey. We are to please him, walk with him, believe in him for the impossible, love each other, walk in unity, and say, God, have your way in and through our lives. And God, help me to be faithful. Help me to be faithful. If we don't hear those words, it's not because he is not faithful, but because we have missed something. Well, let me tell you, that's a promise from the Lord. And as Apostle Paul said about his life, he's encouraging Timothy to have the same testimony, and he's encouraging us through the word of God for all of us to remain faithful, not to waver to the left or to the right, but to remain faithful. Father, we thank you for this morning and for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your word that speaks to us. We thank you, Lord, that we can just read your word and there's so much richness in there. God, help us now to apply this word to our lives. Lord, we live in a difficult day, but yet exciting days. Lord, we live in a day that we're witnessing so many false teachings, but you're also witnessing that there is a church, a true church that you have loved. We also are witnessing young generation rising up, even here at Summit International School of Ministry, that will preach this gospel to the ends of the world. We thank you that we are part of what you're doing around the world. We might be a small church here in Granville, Pennsylvania, God, but we have the opportunity to touch the world around us. We thank you, Father, that we have godly teachers here at Summit. We thank you, Father, that we have godly people that come here Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. We thank you, Lord, for our leadership that love you and are sharing this gospel that it's not washed down, but the way it is. God, we thank you that you had given us spiritual fathers. We thank you, Lord. This is the richness of heaven that you had given us. God, help us now all to remain faithful in what you have called us to do. And sometimes we will face difficulties because we are faithful in the things you have called us, Lord, but we choose to be faithful in what you've called us than to give up and fit in with the world. We choose to be different. We choose to stand out by the grace and the mercy of God. Lord, and as you gave in the boldness to Apostle Paul to stand in your might, would you give this to us? Would you give us this boldness? And help us to hear these words. Good and faithful servant, well done. Well done. Because in little you were faithful. Now I'm gonna put you over much. Give us the grace to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? I do not have a particular altar call. But if this message spoke to you, and as this message was shared to Timothy as a young preacher, maybe you're here and you're facing difficulties to stand firm in your workplace. Maybe you're facing even some pressure to be quiet and not to share the things that the Lord is putting on your heart. I want to encourage you. Do it in kindness and in love, but be faithful to what God has called you rather than fit in. This costed Paul's life, but it was worth it. And by the grace of God, I want to have the same testimony. Whatever what it is, God, give me the grace. Even if I have to give my life for this gospel, never to bend down. And I know what I'm talking about. I have three small children, and often I think about, is this worth it? Well, let me tell you, if Apostle Paul did it, if my grandfather did it, I can do it by the grace and the mercies of God. To be willing to give our lives for this gospel that we preach rather than bend down to the woke ideology that is out there.